talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. As always, we're going right to the front lines of history in the making. We start today with the most significant piece of legislation pending in the Congress right now. There are other ones coming up. Getting past the debt limit on December 3rd so the government doesn't get shut down, which Moscow Mitch and Cruz and the rest are going to try to do by invoking the filibuster. That's going to be an important one. The most important probably is SB1 and HR1, voting reform. Get rid of gerrymanders, provide for absentee voting, counted by professionals, get the thugs out of the election place. Drop boxes, all of that. That ain't going anywhere because of the filibuster. And the reason that the filibuster is permitted to continue is that Manchin and Sinema won't vote to override it, even for that one bill. And that may be the most important bill. But getting to the present, getting to today, not December 3rd and not long term, the most important piece of legislation pending is the soft infrastructure. Now, the hard infrastructure got passed last week. Biden is going to have a signing of it coming up probably Monday. And obviously there'll be a ceremony about it, and it'll be very good. But the soft infrastructure is important. It started out at $3.5 trillion. It's been winnowed down to 1.75, 50% of it, 50% of it. We went over yesterday all the good things that are in it, and there's plenty of good stuff in it. One very good piece of news is that recent polls show that by 23 percentage points, 54 to 31, 54% of people approve of the hard infrastructure that got passed. 31% disapprove. When you have a 23-point swing, that is broad approval by the American public for that piece of expenditure. Moscow Mitch himself, who voted for it in the Senate, said it was a godsend for Kentucky. It's going to employ a lot of people in the Kentucky trade unions and union wages with good wages, good benefits, health care. It's going to rebuild a bridge between Kentucky and Ohio that is one of the most congested bridge areas in the country. Somebody from Texas just had a press, from Kansas, I should say, had a press conference. Something like $2.5 billion is going into Kansas alone to rebuild their highway system. And they said that it is the most significant transportation investment in Kansas since Dwight Eisenhower, who was from Kansas. Dwight Eisenhower is the father of the interstate highway system. Dwight Eisenhower, Republican, moderate Republican, pro-civil rights Republican, the general who was in command of American forces, all of them, when we won World War II. Then he was president of Columbia University for a while, Columbia University. And then he became president, elected in 1952. And both the Republican and the Democratic parties went to him and offered him their nominations, both of them. And he picked the Republican Party, I think largely because the Democrats had been in power since 1932 for 20 years. Four terms of Franklin Roosevelt. He died early in his fourth term, Truman took over, and then Truman got a term of his own. And Ike figured, well, you know, maybe time for a change. But he continued civil rights policies, and he built the interstate highway system. Mainstream Republicans, right-wingers, Taft and the others back then were against it. You know, too much federal expenditure. Let me tell you something. You get in a car right now in Milwaukee and you want to drive to LA, you can be on highway the whole way. You tried doing that before Eisenhower, you know, you'd go on Route 66 and you do this and you do that. No highways. I should say no federal highways. It was state highways. The Pennsylvania Turnpike was built by Pennsylvania before Eisenhower. But the interstate highway system, the free interstate highway system without tolls as we know it, is the legacy of Dwight Eisenhower. And it had to be updated, and Joe Biden's updating it. Joe Biden is updating it. The Democrats are updating it this time. So it's very popular. 54 to 31, very, very popular. I must say that if the progressives had passed this thing 2 months ago, there are a lot of people who think, and I'm not the only ones, the two Democratic senators from Virginia think that Terry McAuliffe would have won that race and that we wouldn't have lost legislative seats in New Jersey and elsewhere. But that's water over the dam, water over the dam. It got passed. Now, how do we pass the soft infrastructure? I think that when that passes, there will be the same kind of approval. You don't know if it's exactly 23 points, but there will be very strong majority approval for the soft infrastructure. Soft infrastructure having to do with medical care, universal pre-K, that sort of thing. What are the strengths and what are the glitches? The strengths are that Biden and Pelosi and Schumer have come down to the range where Manchin won't knife it in the Senate. Manchin has said he wouldn't do $3.5 trillion. And remember, if it passes in the House, that's only halfway. That's only halfway. It's still got to pass in the Senate. So the good news is that they have accommodated Manchin and they've accommodated Sinema. She's given a little on negotiating on prescription drugs with the pharmaceutical companies. She's limited it to 10 drugs, but they're expensive ones. Insulin is at the top. Used to be the average insulin bill for people would be about $650 a month, $7,200 a year or more. Now it'll be about $35 a month. So there are some progress. What are the glitches? Let's be very, very real here. Is this thing ever going to pass? Is this death by a thousand cuts? Are the blue dog Democrats in the House, in Manchin and Sinema, who are the blue dog senators in the Senate, really going to knife it, and they're just going through some kind of kabuki dance? Well, here's some facts. And then I can't predict exactly what will happen, but here are the concerns. Manchin had a public statement yesterday in which he said he's very concerned about inflation. Well, yeah, so am I. So is everybody. Inflation is up to about 6%. You like to keep it at 2%. You don't want stagflation. You don't want negative inflation, like Japan has been going through for almost 40 years. You don't want that, or I should say 35 years. You don't want that. You don't want that. But then he went on to say, quote, that, you know, that Biden's argument that it will be short-lived, he dismisses that. Well, what does he have to even impliedly take a shot at Biden? Is he just woofing, talking smack, to appeal to people back in West Virginia, and he's really going to do the right thing? I don't know. But you should know that that happened. The other thing is that the blue dog Democrats, is about eight of them in the House. Why do they call them blue dogs? Because you remember when the South drifted away from the Democratic Party, as it drifted because of civil rights, you still go into towns in Alabama and Mississippi, and they all voted Democrat for local office, and somebody would go up to an old timer and go, well, why are you voting Democratic? And he goes, I'm a yellow dog Democrat. I would vote for a yellow dog before I'd vote for a Republican. And blue dog Democrats are the reason for the blue is, you know, blue, either blue state or they're Democrats, but it invokes the yellow dog. In other words, they are not going to do something just because the Democratic Party in this case says it we should do it. Now, what the blue dogs are going, unless the Congressional Budget Office, the CBO, shows us in chapter and verse how we're going to pay for this thing, We ain't voting for it. Well, Nancy can't lose those 8 votes because this time there are no Republican votes to bail her out. So what, unfortunately, she and Biden and Schumer may do is drop the $80 billion in it for IRS enforcement. Why is that? Because there's so many tax cheats at the upper income level, about $1 trillion is going begging. All of the analysis shows that if you put $80 billion in for enforcement, more forensic auditors and lawyers, you'd bring in $400 billion. You'd leverage 5 to 1. And yet the blue dogs are going, well, you have to show us where that $400 billion's coming. The CBO will not, as a matter of accounting, account for revenues that get leveraged because of something else now. And so reluctantly, they may decide to drop the $80 billion for the IRS. And I don't know if they'd be able to convince the blue dogs where the other $400 billion is coming from. This is all going on behind the scenes. My prediction is that something will pass and it will be good. Do not think that this is a done deal. They wanted to vote by the 15th, by Monday. And right now, I don't know if they will. Stand by. I'm going to a break. The lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down.